Tim Jones joins us now. Tim, thanks for coming on the show. Busy day today for President Trump and this summit and then that North Korea thing next week. Never a dull moment.
Hey, Annie. Yeah, happy Friday, and great to be with you again. And yes, I'll tell you what, I've been listening to your show this afternoon, and I'm loving all the clips of Donald. I love those impromptu moments where he addresses the media, because, you know, it's like your neighbor, your the guy or the lady up the street would talk to the media as they're trying to, like, get the heck out of town. It's like, I'm out of here so y'all can't bother me all weekend. And by the way, I'll be working. You know, it's just great. Things the media doesn't want to talk about. The president working. They're terrified of President Donald Trump working.
Yeah.
They'd rather him be distracted by, you know, porn stars and creepy porn lawyers and, you know, everything under the sun, except the fact that the economy is booming. Unemployment is at historic lows. Unemployment amongst all minority groups is at historic lows. ISIS is on the run. America is treated once again like the superpower we are because we have leadership from the front, not from behind. It's really remarkable, isn't it, Annie? And you were seeing that in the polling. I don't know if you saw the congressional ballot is near a dead heat between Republicans and Democrats, which should not be the case, right? It's never the case. This president will continue to defy history. And this week, it's even cracking through the dullards and the dense blockheads at CNN. Their political analyst at CNN this week said that the Democratic Party is in a complete state of disarray because, as you and I and so many others on 97.1 have been pointing out, the Democratic Party has been dragged dramatically to the left, and there is a huge fight in the Democratic Party between the socialists, communist progressives, and the old school, what I would call Missouri Truman Democrats. You know, they used to be the working man and woman's party, no longer. So that's the story that's largely left untold by the mainstream media. I was shocked that CNN even gave it 30 seconds of time this week.
Yeah, and, you know, one of those big issues that is on the table right now is this quote-unquote trade war. Listen to what Claire McCaskill has to say about this trade war.
Right now, people in Missouri are very worried about the trade war. You know, one out of three rows of beans in my state go to China. This notion that they're saving a Chinese phone company that violated sanctions against Iran, that they're going to give a lifeline to this company, and because the president wants to save Chinese jobs. In Missouri right now, small manufacturing and agriculture is very worried about trade. They're very worried about health care costs.
I think the people of Missouri are very worried about their Senate seat. And I think Claire McCaskill has reason to be very worried as well. What do you think about her words there about the trade war and then people in the state of Missouri?
Yeah, Annie, you know, the big thing there is, yeah, thank you. Sorry, Annie, I'm getting in my car.
That's fine.
Hey, the big thing there, Annie, is this is yet the latest example of the left glomming onto something to hope that the economy collapses, right? Everything else for them has failed. So what they're hoping is that this will be the latest thing that they can point to. Isn't it sad that they're hoping beyond hope that something will cause the economy to collapse? And so they're like, oh, maybe the trade war will do it. And I think that's really sad that Democrats are hoping for a failed U.S. economy, Claire McCaskill leading the charge.
Do you think that Hawley has done what he needs to do so far in this Senate race to unseat her? The primary, everybody else in this Republican side of this race is working overtime to try to get their message out to the people. And you know, Hawley has not been as aggressive in the campaigning portion of this primary. Do you think that he is doing the smart thing the way he's handled this so far?
Well, Annie, so being the clever country lawyer that I am, I'll give you both sides of this.
Very good.
I think the Hawley campaign would say, hey, it's still early. We're not even to the 4th of July yet. People are busy with kids getting out of school and family vacations, and there's no reason to, number one, blow too much of, you know, our wad on the front end. Also, no need to make any unforced errors, make any mistakes, et cetera, et cetera. The other side of me, though, says your point, which is I would like to see a little bit more aggressive Josh Hawley like he was when he ran for attorney general. I know in political parlance, the 2016 race is, you know, a lifetime ago, But it was only, what, I guess they campaigned 2014, 2015.
Mm-hmm.
And there you saw a very aggressive Josh Hawley, because you know, he had to go from zero to, you know, near 100% name ID in a very short period of time because it was the first office he ran for. I'd like to see a little bit more of that Josh Hawley on the campaign trail, because let me tell you, Annie, I actually have met Josh personally many, many, many times. He's extremely bright, extremely articulate. You throw any issue at him, and he can give you a great reason response. I want the consultants and the managers and all the political people to take the handcuffs off a little bit and let Josh be Josh, because he can handle himself just fine. I mean, the Federalist Society folks love him, and if folks don't know, the Federalist Society is the conservative attorneys group. Believe it or not, that does exist. And the conservative attorneys group, they're basically maligned by the trial bar and the tort lawyers and all those folks, because there's actually a organized group of conservative lawyers called the Federalist Society. And so those folks are huge fans of Josh Hawley. And so I can tell you, he is a constitutional conservative. He was involved in the Religious Freedom Hobby Lobby case. I know a lot of folks, they like Austin Peterson. I've met Austin too. He's a great guy. I've met Tony Minetti, great guy. Whoever gets through the primary is going to have to really be on their game to take on Claire McCaskill. So what I'm saying here is, we do have a long way to go to August. I'm not diminishing any of the other folks who are running for U.S. Senate, but all of them need to be their own person and be aggressive in the campaign mode right now. That's all I'm saying about Josh Hawley is, I would like to see him a little bit more on that campaign trail, because as soon as that primary is over, man, it is a sprint till early November. It's going to happen really fast, and Claire McCaskill should never be taken lightly or like she's going to lay down. She is one of the most skillful, vicious politicians I've ever run across in my life.
Yeah, and we're only a couple months away from that primary, so I would assume that campaign will start heating up here very quickly. I think we're working on getting Josh Hawley on this show next week if it works out with our schedules. So real quickly here before I let you go, I wanted to ask you about the summit right now at the G7 summit. President Trump he's a bit tepid about it, and then also his suggestion that maybe Russia should be, you know, they should be back in. Are they BFFs now? What is that about?
Well, I think President Trump recognizes what the left will refuse to now admit. Isn't it funny where we've come with how the parties treat Russia, right?
Yeah.
Back just a short time ago, when President Obama was taking on Mitt Romney, Russia was yesterday's news. They were no big deal. Don't worry about them. The 1980s, what your their foreign policy back, Mitt? I think just right before the election, President Obama said, oh, there's no way anybody could interfere with our elections. Ah, this Russia schmusha thing. Oh, how silly. And now we see a communist behind every bush, right? We see a Bolshevik behind every bush. You know, it's just hilarious. So I think what President Trump is saying is Russia needs to be taken seriously, because of the amount of just sheer land mass that country occupies. They control a lot of natural resources. But on the other hand, their economy is in tatters and ruins. They're hardly capable of keeping their currency, the ruble, afloat, much less interfering with anything involving our democracy. So President Trump's saying, you know, they need to be there because of the place they occupy in the geopolitical world. But on the other hand, let's stop lighting our hair on fire and thinking that they somehow control the White House or the United States of America in any shape or form.
Yeah. Real quick here, what do you got coming up on Sunday, 7 to 9 on the Tim Jones Show?
Yeah, so we're still putting together, trying to get a really good national guest. As you know, Annie, the news changes every 24 hours.
Oh, for sure,
so
yeah.
We try not to book that too far in advance, because something could happen at this summit over the next 24 hours, but we'll have somebody to address national issues. And we'll also then have Dottie Bailey on, who's actually running for my old House seat out here in the wilds of Eureka and Wildwood, mainly to talk about things involving Facebook and shadow banning, which she's been a victim of. Also, her time in the Tea Party and being one of the biggest, strongest Trump supporters in the area, and why the heck she got crazy enough to run for state representative. I wasn't able to talk her out of it.
Yeah, well, that's probably why she needs to run, if you couldn't talk her out of it. Tim Jones, thank you so much for joining us. We'll be listening to your show Sunday from 7 to 9 p.m. right here on 97.1.
Thanks for having me, Annie. Good to talk to you. Great show, and we'll be listening the rest of the afternoon.